It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you ever find Bugs Bunny attractive when he'd put on a dress and play a girl bunny?
No.
Neither did I. I was just asking.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Did we lock you in a dumpster one time?
I got out.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
That's somebody's daughter up there.
I was just going to say that.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Dynamite drop in money. That broadcast school has really paid off.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 1080. The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2. And, of course, YouTube, youtube.com/1080AM, The Fan. Good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody. We'll talk with Ben Golliver here in the second hour of the program. We'll do a little bit of an NBA Finals peekaboo.
A little peekaboo for tonight, game one.
Absolutely. Game one. We'll see if it's going to be a good series or is it going to be a back-and-forth blowout. Hey, the Thunder won by 20. Hey, the Pacers won by 20.
Yeah, just give me good games, and I hope I'm surprised by the outcome because I think we're all in agreement. We believe who's going to win this series, and I hope that we're all wrong on that.
Reminder that Tuesday, June 24th, it's rapidly approaching. It's 19 days away.
We're in the month now.
You need to put it on your calendar. You need to sign up. You go to 1080thefan.com because your local Toyota dealers presents the 11th annual Fan Golf Classic.
Look at this. Look at that.
I told everybody to put it on their calendars. I told Nemec. I told Orem. I'm like, you got to put it on there. It's really important.
Put it on your calendar, Orem.
Because it's also brought to you by Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors and Philbrook Law Accident and Injury Lawyers. We'll have Victor Rico's for the morning round and lunch, and we'll have Matt's Barbecue for the later round and lunch as well. Foursomes can be purchased. All we got is the morning round available at 1080thefan.com.
Boom goes the dynamite.
I want to get to this audio. So I know the NBA Finals is tonight, and we'll get to that. Adam Silver was on a morning FS1 show yesterday.
He went on the breakfast ball. It's a good get for the breakfast ball.
He got his breakfast ball on. Mark Schlereth. And he was asked about the Mavericks getting the number one pick. And so he talked about the lottery system. I'm just curious if your takeaway from this clip I'm about to play you is the same one that I've been on this opinion. But I'm curious if you've reached the same conclusion hearing him talk about the Mavericks getting the number one pick and the lottery system.
Remember, the worst performing team had a 14% chance of winning, which means there was an 86% chance they wouldn't get it. Dallas had roughly a 2% chance. So, you know, the losingest team had a 7 times better chance. So 2% is 2%. It's going to happen. And, you know, when people say, and therefore the lottery was broken, I have a different view, which the purpose of the lottery is to disincentivize teams from tanking. And so here you had a team which was clearly trying, whatever people think of that trade, they were trying to win. You know, then Kyrie got injured, then Anthony Davis got injured. Yeah. And so then they found themselves in the lottery. So, again, you know, it's on the level, and then odds are odds, and that's how it turned out.
That's going to make everybody feel better.
Odds are odds, man.
Odds are odds. They had a 2% chance. It's not some astronomical result here for the Dallas Mavericks winning the number one overall pick in the year that I made them trade Luka Doncic to our biggest market so that the Lakers could be relevant for years to come. Nothing is rigged here. There's nothing to see. Let's move on to the next topic. That's my takeaway from all of that.
Mine is, I roll my eyes in seeing this, and I thank one of our listeners, Ryan, for pointing this out because I don't follow that show.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about teams not being incentivized to tank and how the Mavericks winning shows that, like, it's not about losing games. You know, you just don't know how it's going to shake out. First of all, your process has evened the odds more for more teams. It hasn't stopped teams from tanking. Utah smirked at their press conference after they hired Danny Ainge's son about the idea of tanking. Like, their owner openly smiled about, like, yeah, we did tank.
That's been their strategy for 2 years now.
They didn't land the number one pick for it, but they tanked. They got a good pick. We'll see what player they get out of the draft. I think this is so stupid. He clearly is a guy that hates tanking. He clearly thinks it's bad for his league. Just jump on board already and flatten these things out and say, if you're bad, I'm sorry. You might end up with the 24th pick. Don't be bad. If this is a problem to you, and it clearly is because he changed the percentage odds of lottery system.
He did.
And he mentions it when he talks about the Mavericks winning it as a back-end team with odds. It clearly is on his mind that he hates the tanking. So if you're willing to change the odds and you want to tout, like, not allowing or not having teams that want to be as enticed about doing it, how about we just flatten the odds? And I'm sorry if the NBA champion gets the number one pick once in a blue moon, but the best possible thing you can do, it's different than football. Football doesn't believe in tanking. They might end up with teams with 2 wins,
sure,
but no team actually believes in the methodology of tanking.
Quite often, teams at the end of the regular season in the NFL win games that they should have no business
winning. The Giants doing it
and then costing yourselves a franchise quarterback in the long run.
Exactly.
Because you just need to win a game.
I'm not saying that, like, and maybe my idea is just way too extreme, but man, I think if you want to care about your teams not openly sucking and putting out a crap product, maybe you should go even further than you have, further than the league's ever imagined it should.
Yeah.
This draft has evolved in the last 30 years anyway. It used to be one thing, it became another, became another, became another, and now it's this. So, like, you don't have to be beholden to doing this.
No.
And I hear him say this, and I'm like, dude, you care, but, like, you're still not doing enough to curb tanking.
No, I feel like they're almost at a pivot point where you go one direction or the other. And there's so much criticism with Dallas getting the number one overall pick in a year in which they traded away a franchise player in one of the dumbest trades we've ever seen in professional sports. Whether Luka ends up winning a title in LA or not, it doesn't matter. To not shop that guy, it's one of the worst trades we've ever seen. They just called the Lakers and said, give us an aging star because Luka can't stay healthy and we're worried about his long-term health. You got to go one direction or the other. You either are going to pivot and just say, let's go the NFL style. Like, whatever your record is, that's what pick you get. Just let them openly tank because everybody's still doing it. Or you say, let's flatten the odds for all the teams that don't make the playoffs. I don't know what the odds would be for everybody. We can have a mathematician, Swigard, figure that out. But everybody who's not in the playoffs, you get the same equal amount of chance, whether you're the 10th seed in the Western Conference or you won 13 games that season. And then it's completely flat, and we're not sitting here complaining about a system in which teams are desperate for stars, but their odds are never great enough to guarantee that tanking is going to get them. Mm. And you open it up to a true lottery. There's 14 teams in the mix that didn't make the playoffs. All of you have an equal chance. Agreed. Let's pull the balls. Here
we go.
Your ball came up. There you go. You're drafting 14th. And then your ball came up. You're drafting 13th. Your ball came up.
Also,
you're drafting 12th.
Transparent. Play your lottery the way the NHL
live.
Did.
Yeah. Do it all live. Yes. And not with these, like, random combinations of, if a 7 and 8 and 11 come up, that means this team's drafting third and this team's drafting fourth. Just have 14 balls in there. Pull them out in order. Boom. 14. There you go. Atlanta Hawks, 14th pick. Boom. Orlando Magic. There you go. 13th pick. And you just pull them out. 14 balls.
Now, somebody that's good at math, I mean, Stern did this with the envelope. The frozen envelope.
Yeah, this is
was
how it
there.
Was back in the olden. Yeah, back when they first started it.
There wasn't, like, well, the Knicks need envelopes 4, 8, right. 12, and 13.
Because I'm tired of hearing about that. You know, the Blazers were one number away from getting Victor Wembanyama.
Well, did you see? I don't think you did. You see the Zach Lowe, who was in the room when he talked about this, he had a packet. The NBA gives the media members in the room the packet. The packet is 2 to 3 pages of number combinations.
Just combos in like a little spreadsheet.
So when they yell out like 4, 8, 9, 12, 6, he said literally every team, there's so many numbers that every team is running through.
4 was a 4 was a 6.
Yeah,
was a 6,
and they're trying
to
keep up with who got that pick because even the teams don't memorize.
So after the first three numbers were selected,
they have an idea of what teams are now in
the
play.
The Spurs actually had three possible.
They had the best.
They had the best chance at that point.
Yes.
Three of the possible 14 numbers, had it come up, the Spurs would have gotten the number one pick.
I
agree with your
theory. Like, go one direction or the other. Either say that everybody's still going to tank, and let's just give it to the worst team in the league because people are still going to tank. The NFL does not have a lottery. Worst record, you get the number one overall pick. Let that be your pick. That's your strategy. You're willing to eat the financial losses by winning 12 games a season. Whatever. Don't let it bother you.
Baseball tanking, and my team tanked a few years back. The Astros tanked. They won a World Series.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams that have tanked.
Tanking has worked for teams in baseball. It's also not worked. The thing about tanking in baseball and basketball is your seasons are too long. Those, like football, it's one thing to not be good. That can be a real bummer. But we're so into football, and there's so few games.
Yeah, you only get 8 home games or 9
home
games.
We're just always going to talk about every method or roster move or decision-making that's going on. Baseball and basketball are too long of seasons. And so tanking really is just like, all right, you're tanking and you've got 41 games left.
You got half of your season to go.
Most of the players have guaranteed contracts in those sports. And in football, you don't. And your career is so short.
You're still playing for your life.
And the next hit could end your career.
Yeah.
That those guys that need to put up stats or perform or
Tommy
put tape
Cutlet
on.
Wins a game. Yeah.
They got to play their butts off. So the only way organizationally you can tank is to not put your best players on your roster on the field for given games.
Or try and pay your coach to lose games on purpose and then fire him for not losing games on purpose. Because that happens from time to time, too.
It does happen from time to time.
Did you see, speaking of tanking, did you see the attendance in the Marlins-Rockies game the other day?
But which one? Because there was a fake account that was being surfaced.
So it's not an actual number, but there was a screenshot. There were multiple screenshots that went viral because the Rockies were in Miami. Nobody goes to Marlins games to begin with.
That was the Rockies' first series win of the year.
That was. They've won 3 in a row.
They got a sweep.
They are red hot and rolling.
Since June 2nd, they've won 3 games. Scotty Scheffler, 0 golf tournaments.
Exactly.
Suck on that golf.
Do something for me, Scotty.
First sweep in 13 months.
I mean, I saw a joking tweet that was like, there's 137 people at this game, and it was more than 137, but man, I don't know if it was 1,500. I don't know if it was 1,500 people.
They're bad. They probably can't even name any players on that team.
How much money would I have to pay you to go to that game?
Yeah, $20.
Because if you're living in that market,
because
it's one thing to say, like, we don't have the ability to go to a baseball game, but if you're living there in this scenario, you have the ability to go see different teams that come to town, and that's one, dear God, man.
I might have stepped in it while you were gone.
Oh, who'd you piss off?
Social media, internet Blazer fan, I think.
Ah, they're fond of me in that community.
Wow.
And they're big fans.
They're a pretty mellow, tolerant group.
They're very tolerant. They don't say anything harmful.
I love them.
They don't think you should lose your job for opinions that they disagree with on the Blazers, even though in the long run I'll be proven right and you'll be proven wrong and I'll laugh in your face. They don't think that you should be fired for saying stuff like that.
Well, so I just, Tibbs got fired. He
went to the conference finals the first time in 25 years. They didn't win a playoff series for like 2 decades until he got there.
I mean, they were just so irrelevant. And then he got there and they were good.
Jeremy Lin's the only relevant thing that happened to the Knicks in the last 20 years.
And so they lose in the conference finals. They fire Tibbs. And I wasn't like, oh my, but I was like, damn, dude. Like, I just, as a youth basketball coach, I'm coaching 7th, 8th grade girls.
You worried about you're getting turf now?
No.
Win-loss record?
I am viewing a lot of sports, like being in coaching and trying to learn more about coaching and being good. Like, all of that stuff is interesting to me.
Sure.
Just from a learning standpoint. I'm watching some of this stuff. And I'm not a good writer. I told Oram I never write. I never wanted to be a writer. I always knew I wanted to do radio and other forms of media. So maybe I just need to be more specific when I write. But I just tweeted the day he got fired. I said the Blazers extended their coach for winning 36 games. The Knicks fired their coach who got them to the Eastern Conference Finals. What a weird world. And this was taken as like some big, I'm comping the Blazers
Chaunce
and the Knicks.
Slander. How dare you slander Chauncey Billups.
And I'm just like, it's got to be weird to be a coach.
Yeah.
And so this is
what are the expectations? What are the goals? What do I need to do to keep my job?
This is pop, and I heard it on Twitter, but now it's popped up on the Blazer Reddit, and it's just man, what a rabbit hole I went down there. I mean,
Chauncey Billups is the greatest coach.
Sprague. Sprague is dead.
Sprague's dead. I think
Sprague's
this whole
dead.
At this point, the entire show is probably dead to them, based on the track record that I've laid down, and now you adding on top with an alley-oop in their face.
I know we don't always polish turds. You know, I think I like to dive into some of the nerdy angles of Blazer basketball, but I also, I guess just being honest about some of these things when it's not always rosy is just the worst possible thing you could do.
I love that any sort of perceived criticism against a coach who has won in a season-high 36 games in his career, I think legitimately has one of the worst winning percentages in the history of the NBA in terms of head coaches.
I think it's top three or
and
four.
I mean, it's not all his fault. We've been very fair in that regard. Yeah. He was not handed a lot of rosters over the last 2-3 years that were expected to win at a high level, so we're not all blaming him. But this idea that you can criticize a guy who's never won more than – can't criticize a guy who's never won more than 36 games in a season is hilarious.
Did I phrase that wrong, though? Does that come off that I'm
– No, it just is a hilarious fact of that industry and that sport.
That's
one guy can
saying.
Get to the conference finals and lose his job.
Just like, wait.
What are the expectations? We extended a coach who won 36 games this year.
And he was a plus 15 in the win column.
Sure, that's great.
So that was good enough for the Blazers.
If I would have told you the Knicks were going to make the conference finals back in August this year, what would you have said? Is that a good season for the Knicks?
Good season.
Good season. Should you fire your coach after a good season?
I don't think so.
Probably not. So maybe he shouldn't have been fired. I get that the whole, well, he runs his guys into the ground and that's the whole narrative about Tibbs, but
sure.
Just be careful, man. The grass isn't always as green on the other side of the fence, and they had a good thing going. They've gotten better every year he's been there. I know the Tatum injury was a big part of them losing, the Celtics losing in the playoffs, but they also had a stranglehold of that series
still
before
would have been up 3-1.
That injury happened, and so...
Yeah.
Dude, that's a hell of a year, and he's a good proven coach. And so, you know, maybe you're going to go get one of the guys who was fired this year, Jenkins, you know.
Sounds like they're eyeing Malone. An assistant. Cleveland's got a couple assistants. One just got hired by the Suns.
I think it's going to be Brunson's dad. I think Brunson's dad's getting that gig.
Well, I don't think he's getting fired, that's for sure.
He's definitely not getting
fired. It's beauty of being a franchise player. You
not unless they're foreshadowing what they're going to do this summer.
He's a new Antetokounmpo.
He is.
Who is that guy? That's his third brother. Is he good? No, but he's in the league.
It's Giannis, and we don't want to piss him off.
Oh, Bronny's on the team. Yeah, who could have foreseen that? I never saw that coming.
Thanasis has a job in the NBA, and we're upset about Bronny? What are we doing here?
Well, I'm sorry, Blazer fan. I didn't mean to upset you. I wasn't trying to take shots.
How dare you criticize our fearless leader, Chauncey Billups, who's never done anything wrong in his career and is one of the greatest coaches we've ever seen walk the face of the earth. Did you know he's Mr. Big Shot?
I can't win.
Did you know that he was a Finals MVP?
I can't win.
He's the perfect guy to tutelage.
Social media
tutor
Blazer fans,
young
like
guards.
Being in a fight with your wife. You're just not going to win that one.
No, you just back out.
You just kind of have to back out and be like, all right, you hate me. I'm sorry. I don't know what to do.
You mutter to yourself, you got problems. She's crazy. She's crazy. I can't win this argument.
The finals tip off tonight. We'll talk with Ben Golliver coming up at the bottom of the hour, Washington Post. He is in Oklahoma City for game one. Let's talk a little bit about the finals, what we're expecting for a game one. Will this prove to actually be a good series? That's next on The Fan.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, game one of the NBA Finals is tonight. We'll talk with Ben Golliver coming up for the Daily Ticker at the bottom of the hour. I'm a little nervous. I always want championships of any sport to be good, dramatic, draw me in, give me the intrigue and the, you know, make my heart race a little bit. The hockey did that, and I don't have really a dog in the fight.
Nobody wants 34-0.
No.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants to see that. It's not interesting at all. I don't know how this series is going to go. If you tell me Oklahoma City wins all their games by 15 points and the Pacers win a game or two by 12, I'm not going to be shocked. Basketball can do that. But I am very interested and excited about what game one will be. I'm still not sure. I should have an opinion by this point because I knew I was doing a show today.
Yes.
I'm still not sure I've pinpointed how exactly I think game one's going to go.
It's almost a double-digit point spread.
Yeah,
well, which
it's
going
to be that way the whole series, basically.
It will be. Even in Indiana, what do we think?
I bet it'll be like eight.
You think it'll be eight in Indiana?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big line for a road team.
Statistically, they're one of the best teams of all time.
I get it. They steamrolled their way through the conference finals, largely in blowout fashion. I don't know. The way Indiana has played, and the way that they've been playing, and you pointed this out a couple of weeks, maybe 2 weeks ago, about their record essentially since the calendar year turned over, what they've done in the second half of the NBA season essentially, and then so far in the playoffs, like these are the two best teams in the league. The way Indiana
record-wise,
and OKC's been one of the best teams all year long. And Indiana going into a series against New York where they don't have home court advantage, and you're wondering, can they overcome this? And they did. They could have swept the series, to be honest with you. They don't blow game three. So I'm a little bit surprised by that level of disrespect, but I also get it because that's how dominant, at least in terms of the numbers and analytics, that Oklahoma City has. I have the thought of OKC's going to win this series, but the games will be competitive. I don't necessarily see a bunch of blowouts. I do think Indiana deserves the benefit of the doubt, at least that they can make it close and come down to the wire. And I hope that I'm wrong because I'm rooting like hell for Indiana. I think it'd be great for them to win an NBA championship. It's a great NBA city. It has been for a long time. Mm-hmm. They've had a million close calls over the years. I got no personal beef with the Pacers. They've never done much to hurt me other than taking Jermaine O'Neal away at a young age that has now caused our entire fan base to have PTSD 20 years later. Other than that, man, the Malice in the Palace was fun to watch. Let's go Pacers.
So when you break down a lot of the matchups, and I've listened to and read as much about all of this, we had Ryland Stiles on yesterday, good friend of the show, Ryland Stiles, of Locked On Thunder podcast. You know, he's sitting in the spot of, like, people are, like, uncomfortably excited because in OKC it's almost like counting chickens.
Oh, if you're a Thunder fan at this point, it's guaranteed you're going to win an NBA championship.
Do I go put a lawn chair down now where I think the parade's going to be? But also the Pacers have railroaded some teams out of the playoffs.
They have. When do I get my Thunder title tattoo?
I know this. I'm still firmly in. I think it's going to be Thunder in six. That's what I think is going to happen. I think Indiana's a good enough hard-nosed team, Carlisle, good coach. They're going to pull a game, maybe two, out, I think is what's going to happen. What I also find interesting is going back to the regular season and comping matchups. I pointed this out yesterday to Nemec about how Lou Dort, Kirk Goldsberry, had pointed out that Lou Dort guarded Halliburton the last time they played, and he held him to like his lowest five usage rate game of the season, that Halliburton wasn't even bringing the ball up every possession. I think what I've learned from this playoffs, or what I will take away from it certainly, is I have changed now the way I view the regular season. I'm not dismissing it entirely. I still think there's angles of every team that you can take and go into a playoff and say, well, I saw it from this team this year during the regular season, and then maybe apply it to a playoff series. But I also have been largely fooled by the results of the playoffs.
There's been a lot of that.
Now, Tatum injury didn't help, but they were down. They were going to be down 3-1 in that series.
Yep.
I don't think they come back from it. Brown was also hurt in that series. Cleveland got banged up at the wrong time, but people are still going to doubt Cleveland next year. New York, not good enough, didn't get to a finals, fire their coach. Like, everything I saw in the regular season didn't really translate to the postseason. There were a lot of things that did. This Thunder team kind of did. But Jokic and the Nuggets were questionable. But people like you were like, it's Jokic. And so far, Jokic has pushed that team better than any team has in the playoffs.
He had him on the brink in a game seven.
Just what they did in the regular season, I think they won by an average of 13 points, if I'm remembering that correctly. It's between 11 and 13. I'm kind of sweeping it away. I just think it's a finals and it's different, and these two teams have...
Yeah, the matchups are different. Yeah, the way you attack teams is different.
Right, so I just think what we saw in the regular season, I'm not really playing that into this series at all.
I would add to that, I think the biggest key for them in order to make sure that that's the way it transpires for them and that the regular season doesn't play out is a guy who I think has been incredible, and I'm sure there was a little controversy because I think he ended up winning Eastern Conference Finals MVP, but Siakam has been unbelievable in the playoffs for them. Unbelievable. And he's a guy who came in with championship pedigree. I mean, how many players on either team even have a championship ring? You got Caruso on OKC.
Caruso's got one.
Siakam's got one. Anybody else in this finals have a championship ring? Anybody I'm forgetting? I'm sure there maybe is somebody random on a bench, but I'm talking about guys who play.
Is James Johnson on a championship team at some point? Because he is a bench guy for the Pacers.
Been around a long time. The point is there's not a lot of guys with that level of experience, right, who have been in this spot before, and Siakam is one of those guys, and he is a key player. In the conference finals, he averaged 25-5-4. He shot 52% from the floor and 50% from three. He was outstanding against New York, including 31 points.
I think those are the
points.
Only two players, Dirt, in the NBA
I mean, it's
finals.
Rare, right? Like, how often do you get that to a point where nobody has any experience? In the Stanley Cup final, which we talked about earlier, you're dealing with two teams who were there last year. They played each other last year, so they both were there. They both know what to expect. They both know what's going to transpire. And so I think Siakam, to me, is my key for Indiana. If he could play at that level that he did against New York, in game two, off of the overtime win, they come back, win this gutty, like, oh my God, how did the Pacers do that? How did the Knicks bounce back? In game two, he went into Madison Square Garden. He had 39 points, was the best player on the floor. I won't say single-handedly won the game, but was a huge reason for it. And in the pullout game in Game 6, where they finally eliminate them, he had 31 points on 10 of 18 shooting. Like, he has been a force, and they need him to play at a high level, because I do think OKC has some defensive matchups that they can throw at Halliburton to make his life difficult.
Oh, yeah.
The way they can guard on the perimeter, so he's going to need a number two to have a big-time series.
Yeah, Siakam, I think, averaged in the finals 19-7.
Yeah, against the Warriors back like, a couple years ago.
He was sneaky. Really good in that series. Had a big series against the Knicks. That is definitely a wild card that you point out, and you say, if that dude goes off, it may change some facets of OKC's defensive approach, and does that free anybody else up?
Could he be a more reliable number two than what Shea has on the OKC side?
They need Turner to stay out of foul trouble. They need Nemhart and Nesmith, who's dealing with that ankle injury. They need those guys cannot go ice cold now. They go ice cold, that series is a wrap. It's not even remotely close.
No.
They start hitting those shots. They pick up full court on SGA. We'll see. I know a lot of people are kind of poo-pooing the finals. It's not just the teams. I just think the matchup, I think you look at it and you say, that feels like OKC's such a wagon. They're going to win it.
Pacers winning game one would be the best thing that could happen tonight.
I totally agree with that. It'd be fantastic. Let's talk with Ben Golliver. He drove from Indiana to OKC, the road trip down to the finals, and how he thinks the final shakes out. Ben Golliver, The Washington Post, joins us for The Ticker next on The Fan.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.
All right, welcome back in. Hot route. Go stand over there. Ben Golliver is going to go at 8:15.
I made a whoopsie daisy. I forgot what time I had texted him.
They happen from time to time. Golliver's a sleeper. Let him get some extra Z's.
He's in Oklahoma City.
We'll talk to him in 45 minutes. About 40 minutes. We're already running late. So it's good.
It's 9:30. He's awake.
I don't know if he's awake.
It's finals. Yes.
I don't know if he's awake. I think he's still sleeping.
Ask him.
It's going to be a late night for Ben Golliver. He's got to get his Z's in.
I bet you during the NBA finals and maybe the conference finals, I bet you he wakes up earlier than he normally does during the regular season.
Ah. I think he's an early riser. Big games.
I think you have to be.
Got to be ready to go.
Get your coffee, your breakfast, do a little exercise because you got media scrums and pre-games.
I was thinking this last night and it'll come to head today as well. So the Stanley Cup final starts last night. NBA finals begin tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking this watching the scene. I don't know if you saw any of the pregame, but them singing the national anthem in Edmonton. Okay, so it's wonderful. And that guy in Edmonton has one of the easiest gigs on the planet because half of the song, the crowd sings. He does like, he starts the song and
does
then
he fade out?
Holds the mic up and the whole arena sings. And I'm like, dude, he's only singing half the song.
What but a cop out.
Right? He's getting paid a full fee here, but it's an awesome scene and an awesome setting. And I thought to myself, like, God, just for once, I'd love to know the chills that it would, like, you would feel standing on the ice in that arena, game about to begin, national anthem, like, just what electricity is running through your body. And this same, I'm sure, could be said for tonight. Like NBA Finals, you're in the starting lineup, you get announced, the crowd's going crazy, home game. If I could give you one of those pregame routines to experience in any sport, like running on the field for a Super Bowl, national championship, what would be the one you would want to experience? Baseball suck because you're just like, you get introduced, you stand on the foul line.
I got to be honest, man, that's a good question. I've never been to an NHL game.
Sure.
I don't know. I understand and can see and hear.
So they do a starting lineup technically where you go stand on the blue line and
so
they skate down.
You're saying just the intro?
Just kind of the pre-build up. You go basketball starting lineup.
Yeah.
Just to give your handshakes. You take off your tearaways after you get introduced before. Keep them on until after all of that, all the handshakes get done?
I think you take them off after.
Okay.
So you go through, you high five, you dap up, you give a towel to a kid,
tear
you do a pregame,
stay on.
Like, let's go, let's kick their ass.
Do your little huddle, throw a t-shirt into the crowd.
Yep. Team on me, team on three. Go down there, take it off. If I'm getting an intro like the Chicago Bulls got back in the 90s.
You're getting the voice guy, the lights are down, crowd's going crazy.
Because I always thought the Super Bowl, the wrong way of doing it, was doing one side of the ball as the intro. They used to do that. You remember that? It used to be.
I do.
Like the Rams famously against the Patriots did just the offense.
They did.
And then the Patriots, they've announced they'd like to come out as a team. And it's like,
whoa.
How together are
Look
they?
At that unity.
Let alone we didn't know they cheated at the time.
Team
but like,
over me.
Yeah, right. So I think I want a little me. Because I'm got to the championship while still celebrating team.
That's fair. That's a fair way to do it. The whole team comes out, but also your name's getting called.
The basketball video, light show, I think it's the best in sports.
In terms of like entry, so you would take that over. I guess it's different because in like use a college football, for example, every team has their unique things, but by the time you get to a championship, it's not a home game.
You're not at a home game.
Yeah, so it's not taking the field in the tradition of like, I'm Clemson running down a hill.
Football is the worst, actually, in this
football's
conversation.
Football's pretty bad.
It's terrible. They're like, hey, where are we going? Where all the money is.
Man. Hard Rock Stadium in Miami.
At least the
NBA. It's two teams from the Western Hemisphere.
Like, at least there's going to be a guy that owns a tractor at that Pacers game 3
Yes,
game.
There absolutely
will. He will be somewhere. Did you see that dad, by the way, that sat? He texted his daughters who were at a concert, and he said, how good are your seats? And they took a selfie of themselves at their concert seats. They're in a cowboy hat, and they're at, you know, some musical venue. And they basically respond with the same question to their dad. And he responded with a selfie of him right next with Timothée Chalamet and Kylie Jenner. They're in the photo smiling.
Hey!
These are my seats.
Go Pacers!
And the daughters are like, no fair! Well, maybe you should go to basketball games with dad then.
Maybe if you went to the game, you'd be sitting next to Chalamet. Swag, what sport would you choose for an intro of Jason Swigard? You go hoops too?
Yeah, probably.
Probably hoops.
It's the most, it all gears up to right at that moment.
Yeah. I roll my eyes at the hoops.
The voice
ones.
Guy's always good, too.
Voice
you know?
Guys are good.
No!
Yeah, it's solid. I roll my eyes at it when it's like when you go to a game and it's like game 21 of the regular season and I'm getting that video intro in the starting lineup. Like, dude.
You gotta put
they're
on.
They're playing the Pelicans.
You gotta put on the production.
We're 7-13, okay? The Pelicans are in town. Nobody's that excited to be here. It's just a thing to do on a Wednesday night. I don't need this full level of intro. But for a big game, it does hit different. I'll give you that.
I'd have to go look at the record, but I went to the Spurs game before Wimby got hurt this year at the Blazers. And I had pretty good seats on that one. And it was funny because I think at the time they hadn't flipped their script yet. They were not a very good team, the Blazers, record-wise.
No.
If I'm remembering this correctly. And the Spurs weren't coming in all number one seed, right? It was just, we want to see Wemby. The funny thing is, if you go in December, January, February, especially if your team's just like middling or not good, they're playing the same intro video that they created for the team at the beginning of the
year.
For
opening night, because the opening night video is always a big deal.
And so it's like, oh, it's the 11-18 Trailblazers against the 14-17 Spurs or whatever. And it's like, here's Bruce Lee. Be like Wata, my friend. But the crowd's half there.
Yeah, it's like 2,500 people in the bowl.
That's when it becomes, it goes from like the best intro in sports to the most comical.
Like, why are we doing this? Just, can we roll the ball out and play?
It's like, what's the place you eat chicken and watch them joust? What is that place called? The
Medieval Times?
Medieval Times,
it's like being at a Medieval Times that's half sold out. It's like, oh, Sir Lancelot's out here. It's like you and eight people eating chicken. You're like, what's going on right now?
Can we just start the game already? What am I waiting for
at this point?
What's happening here? Somebody said, what about yelling start your engines at the Indy 500? That'd be pretty cool.
That's actually an underrated one, yeah.
Most nervous intro would be the final pairing of a golf major at the first tee. That's solid, yeah. Your name gets called. Everybody's cheering. You're in the final group. Don't hit one out of bounds.
That probably makes you the most nervous.
That's the most nerve-wracking,
I would imagine. The golf one is when they do the Ryder Cup intros.
Yeah, Ryder Cup intro. On road, well, home would be incredible home to experience them chanting your name and singing, but road would be intimidating as all hell. I did see, speaking of the NBA Finals, it looks like ESPN might be turfing Doris Burke. Am I reading that right?
Oh, really?
Well, I haven't seen that.
Where did you see that?
That's the latest scuttlebutt that they're not
contract
thrilled.
Up?
I don't know if it's up. They're just changing their rotation every year, it feels like.
So I did, maybe it was in the same story, and we read a different story.
There was a report that came out that basically said her spot in the top broadcast duo, so I don't know if she's going to get fired.
She'll probably just get moved to the second team.
It's not guaranteed that they like Breen, they like Jefferson, but they might be getting rid of Doris Burke.
Well, you don't need three.
Well, that's the biggest problem. Yeah, we've talked. Three in a fast-moving sport is just hard to manage. Plus, you have a sideline reporter.
She went from, like, being beloved to, like, now she's polarizing.
She's polarizing to people.
And I don't
know. What has she done?
She had some SGA stuff in the conference finals. She had a couple of lines in there about foul hunting and foul merchant stuff. This is why people say that about him, and I know that pissed off Thunder fans. I remember reading that.
Well, I just, look, it's already tough racket being a woman on that job.
Yes, it is.
For some, but, like, I just think over time, some people don't continually get that grace. Some do. But not everybody, and it feels like she's kind of fallen into that, she's really good. I hate when she's on that game. Like, it feels like that's kind of the swinging opinion.
There's so many broadcasters that fall into that category now.
I know. But there was a thing that says, is Steph Curry going to be a booth guy?
He's getting ready to hang him up and go be a booth guy?
And I'm just, I don't know what to make of that. Like, has Steph Curry said interesting things to you guys in any press conference?
I don't listen to a lot of his press conferences.
I would see him more as a studio guy.
Really?
Like, yeah. I think he needs space because I think, he's really well thought out. Like, if you listen in his post games, when he gets questions, he actually kind of thinks and ponders and gives you, something. But it's generally more drawn out. Explanatory, where if you're trying to do that in an 8-second bite in between plays, it's really difficult.
Do we miss Mark Jackson and Van Gundy?
No.
Okay, so
some people do. Like, that's
I do.
Mama, there goes that man. Man down.
I mean, look, did he use him as a crutch? Absolutely, yes. He did.
But them going to commercial break after a big three.
I'm not going to act like a highlight clip of a guy that just blew past a defender. As it's fading out, and Mark Jackson go, Mama, there goes that man. I'm not going to pretend
with
didn't
a cool
enjoy
song
that.
Playing. You're like, all right, I got into this.
He Black was like Eyed Peas in the background.
Yeah, he was a bit of a hype man. Van Gundy was the old curmudgeon that was trying to break down X's and O's. Like, it wasn't the worst trio in the world. We did criticize it a lot at the time, and now you look back and you're like, is this any better than that?
I don't know what people want on the broadcast, really.
There's
like,
no right
if
answer.
You get two X's and O's, you get complaints. Yeah. If you're just like, oh, all he says is the same things. Like, you get that side of it. Like, I don't really, I can't begin to guess what people love on their broadcast.
I can't make everybody happy, but I did read that. Doris Burke going into what might be her only NBA Finals. That's another little storyline going into tonight, Game 1 in Oklahoma City. We'll have some more on that in the final hour of the show, including our conversation with Ben Golliver. Hot Route coming up at 8:15. I want to get to something that happened while I was gone that I would like to pile on next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
All right, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Ben Golliver coming up at 8:15. We'll talk some more NBA Finals with him.
I might make a mistake.
Uh-oh. What's wrong?
I kind of want to defend myself on this Reddit.
You want to you're going to jump into Reddit? Do it. Do it. Jump into that water. Do it. Feels good.
Those sharks will bite you.
Let the dark side overtake you.
Where's my legs?
Well, you're going to jump in and beef with one fan base.
I'm not beefing.
You're going to beef. We're beefing. Don't worry. I got your back, buddy. I got you, dog.
Well, they already hate you, so you're actually not helping
this
me.
This is true. Yeah,
now you're making
them
more
rabid. You
don't
want my endorsement of your candidacy? Is that what you're telling me? It's an endorsement that you don't want? You're going to act like I don't exist? Can I jump in and pile on something that I'm sure you guys made fun of earlier this week, or at least you did, but Swigard might have been gone.
Are you sure?
Now, I didn't watch a second of it because, you know, I was moving last weekend, but yeah. I did see the final scores and updates.
Okay.
My baseball team lost to Utah Valley, and who else did they lose to? Who's the other team?
Cal Poly.
Cal Poly. We lost to Utah Valley and Cal Poly.
Didn't win a game.
Didn't even win a game in our own regional after all that.
Two and out.
Now, who ended up winning our regional?
Arizona did?
Wow,
Arizona's a good program.
They're a juggernaut. You can't hang with them.
So here's what happened.
What a game. I don't have that high of expectations on them. I jokingly follow college baseball, but I don't follow college baseball. And it's funny when we beat Oregon State because then I can laugh because I know you guys actually care.
I believe in the second game, they had an 8-5 lead on Cal Poly.
That's a problem.
Like, lost 10-8.
Dude, I'm not demanding Omaha or bust here. It's not like you better win a national championship because at the end of the day, I don't care at all. But win a game. You can't lose to Utah Valley and Cal Poly. That's embarrassing.
Somehow, and I don't know, it's probably a similar person that just changes things to be on it. Monday was interesting. I basically was told instantly on the YouTube chat, this show sucks. Dirt's not here. I didn't get his tears.
I need my tears.
And it was a name that said Utah Valley. And I went, I know that's not really a Utah Valley fan because they're not real. But
it'd be kind of funny if it was, though.
It was. Look,
you're not going to get tears out of me because I don't care that much. It's more of like, what? I mean, it's embarrassing.
It really is embarrassing.
That was really embarrassing.
Yeah.
I mean, the softball team got to the Women's College World Series.
They ended up losing to Oklahoma. It's like, hey, you lost to Oklahoma. Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah, you were down to like the final five or six teams.
Orem kind of threw out, I thought this was interesting. I don't follow, me and you are kind of similar, right? Like my program's better and it's their thing. And I do start to care, like right at the end of that regional, I was watching that and I was hate watching USC lose.
Yeah, screw USC.
And now I'm excited for the Super Regionals. Like that's when I
saw your meringue back and forth on Twitter. That was pretty funny.
I mean,
we've won all these championships. See, how many of them are before 1950, dude? Like they don't count. Nothing before 1970 counts in sports anymore.
New rule. If 50% of your championships required you to take a train to get to that championship,
it doesn't count. If the technology of driving a car didn't exist, you don't get to count it.
But, you know, I was having fun with it, and now I'll watch. And if they lose, I'll be bummed, and then I'll move on. I'll be okay. I jokingly said if Dirt was here Monday, he would take it, and then he'd laugh and go, we got a 4-star yesterday. Dan Lanning's doing okay. I'm ready for football
season. They
did pick
up a couple of nice defensive linemen in the 2027 class.
I saw that. Orem suggested maybe it's style of play.
Now I think it's because their pitching sucks, and it sucked all year.
Well, he thinks
that would be my 2 cents.
Yeah, but their number one starter,
got shelled.
Grinsell, gave it up too.
Well, that happens. Clayton Kershaw's exist.
Yeah, well, Clayton Kershaw's 407 years old. So,
But he's like, basically their offense is... C-ball, hit-ball, far. It's mash unit, home run or bust, MLB approach.
We're going to analytics, huh?
And he's more, well, it just was funny that he said it because it came right on the heels of Oregon State beating USC by bunting to death.
Just going small
like
ball on
three
them.
Or four straight runs to just bunt, run.
You
bunt,
can't field
run.
That. Good luck doing that under pressure.
Right, but that's OSU to a T, right? They'll play all styles of baseball, whereas he's kind of wondering, are they going to change it up ever? Because it feels like they just want to hit home runs, and if they can't, you're not winning.
No.
And that's not proven successful so far in that tournament.
Yeah, that was a bummer. That was embarrassing. That was a bad look. I ran my mouth. We still won 4-0 against Oregon State. I didn't watch it.
It doesn't matter now.
I mean, it does. You know, kind of get you four of these, four wins in the regular season. You know, it's a pretty big deal. Pretty big deal, undefeated.
Namik said you guys only have a 50% chance of going to the college football playoff.
Only a 50%
chance.
Could
be a tough year for you, man.
Only 50% chance to get there.
Well, the FPI came out and said 57.6.
Okay.
And he thinks it's a coin flip.
It's a coin. Toss the coin.
They lost too much talent.
Of course they did.
And so I had actually in the magic hat, like, what would happen if you missed it?
And then I saw Bill Orms saying the Blazers are close to title contention. What the hell's going on here, Walmart,
dude?
He said the Blazers are going to win a title. And now Namik is saying they're not going to the Ducks aren't going to the playoff. The Cats and Dogs are getting together, all hell's breaking loose. Our pets' heads are falling off. This is what happens when I'm out for 3 days.
You can't even get a washer dryer hooked up.
I can't even get a washer dryer hooked up. My house looks like a bomb exploded, and all of a sudden the Blazers are going to win a championship. Crunch Time's brought to you by Crunch Fitness. We got a lot to get to. In the final hour of the show, Ben Golliver will come up at 8:15. I got a couple of baseball notes, a couple of football notes, because you got to talk football on every show. It's a load of final hour. It's a Thursday. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.